All right, peoples, good morning. It's great to start the new year. Just want to begin by, as the group, offering condolences, Simone, to you. And this class is dedicated, Le'ilo Nishmas, her sister, Petal Fredel Bas Leib. And may there only be happy things in your life and in our lives going forward. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I want to begin with a story. The Alter Rebbe, certainly in his earlier years as a Jewish leader, chose to be very exclusive. If we would have been there then, and we would have wanted to have an interaction with him, it would not be anything like we merited with the Rebbe at all, who made himself available, mamish, for anyone, one way or the other. Not only publicly, I don't think there was a Rebbe that spent as much time as our Rebbe did speaking in public in the Fabrenging setting. For people that can watch it now, or for people who had the merit to be there, it's not one-on-one, but there was a lot of closeness that one developed with the Rebbe. The Rebbe in the earlier years would dedicate 3 nights a week, mamish, full nights, literally nights, until the morning, to meet with people. At some point when the wait became too long, or when the Rebbe foresaw that he cannot do it for all, he generally stopped those private audiences. And at some point, a bit later, he introduced the giving of dollars. The Rebbe used to give tzedakah money often. When I was in yeshiva in the early 80s, and this goes back probably to the 60s, at the end of Fabrengens, the Rebbe would ask people that are dedicated specifically in the doing of Mifzayim to walk by his chair, by the Fabrengen. He would give each one a packet of $1 bills, appointing them to be his representative, his shliach, giving it out to all. But if you didn't go on Mifzayim, the Rebbe would call you out. The Rebbe asked people, are you going every Friday on a Mifzah tank? And it was not something comfortable, for sure not for the Rebbe, for sure not for the person to be called out in public. But direct, once the Rebbe began giving out dollars, it was phenomenal. True, short in time. But if someone had something that really needed to be addressed, with the prior knowledge that there will be people around the Rebbe that would nudge you along, sometimes physically, knowing that no one is really going to hurt you. If you needed to talk to the Rebbe, you would insist, and you would get what you would need, beregalachas, which was awesome. The Rebbe never went on vacation. The Rebbe was so organized. You knew you can count on it. Whenever you had an issue, you can call up the Rebbe's office. He would get the issue very shortly afterwards. If you needed to be in person, you would fly in. Always, ever, gewaltig. The Alter Rebbe was not that way. In the earlier years, the Alter Rebbe chose select people, whatever his criteria was. What I'm saying now is God-fearing people, which are the hardest to find. On top of that, they had to be very learned. The learned part I know of. He formed Cheder. Cheder is until now the name of a boys' school that teaches kids how to read Aleph Beis, how to daven, how to learn Mishnayos, Gemara. It's called a Cheder, Cheder Menachem. The Alter Rebbe called his little classes Chedorim, Cheder Aleph, Cheder Beis, Cheder Gimel. Ooh, for you to qualify to get into that Cheder, you needed to be a Gevaldike scholar. And the Alter Rebbe began to disseminate his teachings through them. He would spend not that much time with them. And the earlier Hasidic discourses were not what we learn right now, that you have a couple of pages and there's a question and there's an answer and there's a development of an idea. It was very short. Actually, ironically, nowadays, when most people don't have that much concentration, it works. People like now, just give it to me. Something that's going to shock me. I want to be blown away in 30 seconds or less. The Alter Rebbe did that. And truth be told, people who wanted to have an audience with the Alter Rebbe could get in there, but there were so many preconditions, like mamash. It would take a chassid 3 years to get an audience with the Alter Rebbe, not because his schedule was busy, because he expected something of the person going in there that was such a high expectation, and there was no cutting the corners. The Alter Rebbe, when you would enter into Yechidus, can you imagine, would pick up a lit candle. Just imagine that. He would walk over to you. He would put the candle in the person's panim. And he would look in their face. He would study their face. It was not something comfortable. Our Rebbe had those eyes that looked through a person. And the Rebbe was for sure, the Rebbe was not looking for your trouble. The Rebbe was looking for something special in you. So even though it was awesome for the men, it was not, I can't wait to stand in front of the Rebbe. Whenever we got closer, everyone felt a level of fear, I don't know, anxiety, nervousness, everyone. You stood in front of him, you went blank, and you felt that he's looking into you. By the Alter Rebbe was something completely on a different level. We would not be able to handle it. Just parenthetically, the reform movement that called themselves the enlightened ones, the maskilim, they appreciated what we should appreciate, what many of the Jewish enemies appreciate, how vital education is. If you want to change the world, the most potent tool, which is beyond everything else, is chinuch. The reason why the Soviets did not allow for us to have chedonim, everyone needed to go to their schooling system, is because they understood that young people, if they will be taught how to think, if they would be given a hashkafic view of the world, that imprint will remain with them for the rest of their lives. What a good educator can do, a nuclear bomb cannot do. All of the countries that waged war and they tried to force their ideas on others, they never succeeded as much as chinuch. The Rebbe, who really made time, you can say, for everyone, did not give everyone equal time. The Rebbe would give people that are involved in communal affairs more time. Doesn't matter, Lubavitch, not Lubavitch. If you wrote into the Rebbe something about you, the Rebbe had one way of his interaction. If you're anyone, a child, a kid, if they would write into the Rebbe something about a communal organization, there are stories of kids that opened up a gamach, a pencil gamach. A kid who had an idea, so in his, a pencil gamach. There's a letter. He wrote this achlatot. The Rebbe wrote to him the way you write a letter to a CEO of a big moised. First of all, giving him a title, Oisik Betzarchei Tzibur, giving him tips of how to manage the gamach better. The same tips that he would give to a person who has this big amach that has like $10 million. Because if you're doing something communal, your answer got quicker. The cream of the cream, this I know, was to an educator. If you were a school teacher, you have no idea, you would get all of the attention in the world. You would have yechidus whenever you wanted. You would never be rushed to leave the room. Ever. You don't know what... Like, I know that the shluchim, right? This I witnessed. The Rebbe was machabed on an external level, the most, the teachers. Getting a little bit off track, but many years ago, a Lubavitcher family, who I definitely miss, the Smith family, they lived on High Point. And his father, Rabbi Naftali Smith's father, used to teach Aleph Beis in Crown Heights. You know, one of these people, like for 40 years. Even when he would visit his son, he was still doing it. The stories that he would share were so special of audiences that he had with the Rebbe, the time the Rebbe gave him, the detail the Rebbe went into was like, wow. Like no one, even the big shluchim, did not get that attention. And he would say that, I'm getting rare of, he said that in the middle of a yechidus, they were speaking about the format of the Aleph Beis. I want you to know that in the Siddur Tehillas Hashem, if you open up the Siddur, I think there's six letters on the top line or five letters. That, you know, that format, there's I think five lines, and then in the bottom, the Rebbe was was very involved in that. How many letters to write on a line? You have no idea. And in the middle of a yechidus, he says the Rebbe in public would never sit back. The Rebbe in public would always sit front. Always, always, always. He sat back once when he had his heart attack. In yechidus, the Rebbe always sat, people noticed that. He never got comfortable in his chair. He says, in the middle of the yechidus, the Rebbe leaned back. He says that the Rebbe's face to him became as white as a paper. Not human white. Not deathly white. Scary. He says the Rebbe mindfully put his head to the right and the Rebbe checked out. Just, the Rebbe never did it with anyone. The Rebbe mamash had an Aliyas Neshama and Bachal and Yechidesen. After 2 minutes, Rabbi Groner or the designated secretary would open up the door. Because many people did not have the decency of understanding the preciousness of the Rebbe's time. And most people were probably that way, ourselves included. We are selfish. It's a human condition. We think we're respectful, but we take a lot more than we think. And some people need to be nudged out. He says when the Rebbe went into that trance, he says he felt a fear that he never felt in his life. He was frozen. And his mind, he says, he remembers the clock ticking and he couldn't wait for Rabbi Groner to save him. He says he was hoping the door will open up. And Rabbi Groner did not open the door. How he knew, this is not human. And not the way he says, the way the Rebbe, at some point, his color came back to his face. The way he moved, the way he was describing, the way the Rebbe sat up, the Rebbe sat forward, and the Rebbe continued talking to him like if nothing happened. That's Rabbi Smith Sr., may have a long life. Then when he shared this with us, he was probably, I don't know, in his late 70s. He was a Jew with a white beard. And but I'm just introducing that to Alter Rebbe. When you went into Yechidus, he really looked into you. Just so the maskilim, what they did was, with the chinuch, is that they decided that the only way to get the Eastern European Jews who are so stubborn in our old-fashioned ways. Look at the way we dress now. I'm talking about the men. It's mamash, not rational. It's such a Jewish stubbornness that I'm going to wear a fedora hat or a shtreimel or the way people dressed 400 years ago, dafke. Like that, we are living because of it, but it irritates. It irritates the sophisticated person, like just be normal. You ever heard Hasidish but normal? Yeah, but they mean normal. Okay, so there's a beauty, not for your kids, Shaduchim, but it's not, Hasidish are not normal. Hasidish and so proudly identified as a Jew that dafke, I will not identify, I know this, with anything that doesn't come from Yiddishkeit. Foolish, not foolish, relevant, irrelevant. And they couldn't take it to Maskilim. So they had a plan. They educated, this is a tragic, people to really understand our hashkafa, our world. They looked like us, they dressed like us, they were real heretics, they did not believe in God. And they would go throughout Europe and they would get themselves hired as school teachers. And once they had access to the classroom, they would. There was a chachma, there was a seder of how they would introduce certain questions, certain cynicisms. You should know that they did so much damage. They infiltrated the Lithuanian world so tragically. They know about it. The Vilna Gaon's yeshiva, which became the Volozhina yeshiva. The Volozhina yeshiva shut down. You're talking about the cream of the cream of an educational shutdown because many bachrim, at some point, we're going back probably 80 years after this event or 100 years, became heretics. And how did it come? It came because when they were young, they had the Nisayan, go understand that. Like the Nisayan today is, God forbid, you have a teacher that's a molester. It's apples and oranges, but and they went in these classrooms and they corrupted the kids. Such a teacher came to Lubavitch, came to the Alter Rebbe. And in order for him to be accepted as a teacher, people wanted to know what the Alter Rebbe would say about him. So he got himself a yechidus. This is like a spy that, this is years of the making. You have to move there. just parenthetically, you have missionaries that are doing this now. Every now and then you see like a couple, they look through them and they move into a place and they befriend everyone. And mitamol, they don't understand how futile their work is, because none of us, Yashke is like so unappealing. Like we're barely, we're holding on to our, like we say in the truth, I barely believe in, I'm gonna like I don't know what they're doing. Like they have a misunderstanding. They think they're gonna get someone. But those maskilim did a lot of damage. And this guy went into the Alter Rebbe. Can you imagine? That's it. And the Alter Rebbe holding the candle to his face, there's more details to the story, but he called him out. He says, when a person comes to this city, and his name is, the Alter Rebbe saw his name, but he says his name is this. He says that he's a school teacher, but really he's from the Maskilim. The Alter Rebbe, like, can you imagine? Now, he thought the Alter Rebbe knew about it and he'll be ambushed. He ran out of the Yechidus, but no one knew. The Alter Rebbe also didn't know. He found it out when he looked at him. And there's a whole book written on that. How the Alter Rebbe saved Lomavitch. Halavai, more people would have gotten saved. Like, it's always like tragic. Like, why couldn't the tzaddikim, why didn't the tzaddikim see all of the molesters? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But coming back to the Alter Rebbe, he was very exclusive. I just gave that as an introduction. And the Alter Rebbe, what he taught to these groups are ideas that he would not teach to the public. This is an important introduction to what I'm going to say. The Alter Rebbe walked out one morning and he wanted to give us class, these 30-second classes. He chose which group to go into and he asked. Avraham Avinu kept the entire Torah before it was given. That's a statement that we have in our tradition. It's written in the Gemara, it's written in the Medrash. Avraham Avinu kiyem kol ha-toira kula ad shelo nitna. How did he know it? That was the Alter Rebbe's question. This is a classic question. People in those classrooms, they knew this one says this and this one says that. They knew not to quote what is known. That's the way, you know, when you're very learned on that level, the Alter Rebbe was coming with a new answer. And the Alter Rebbe responded. The Alter Rebbe said that the Baal Shem Tov, to set a story. This is like his longest class, because you put on a story. The Baal Shem Tov went into his Beis Medrash, many people went there, and he told the Chevre there, guys, I want you all to go to a certain tavern. The comedy of the story, I know that a tavern is not a nightclub, but it was the nightclub of the old. Like you know, you didn't have what they had today for entertainment. That was the entertainment for Goyim. And the level of the people that were there, it depends. I'm sure there were very refined places. As a rule, can you imagine going in, a Rebbe going in and saying, Bachrim, go to that nightclub. And these are people that dressed like Jews. Jews were not welcome there. Jews dressed, even today, like what would happen if you would have a yeshiva Bachr that would go there with a hat and with a jacket and with his beard, with this gartelan, like, hello, you don't belong. So all of the guys, the Alter Rebbe said, and the Baal Shem Tov says, so they went, they're doing a mitzvah, the irony. They went into a tavern, and it was a happy, it was a big, it was a chashev bar, nightlife something. And they walked in there when no one was going to look at them. So what was happening was like this. This was the entertainment. This is nice, this is an... When people get drunk, whoever saw that, there are different types of drunks. You have the drunk that gets aggressive. That person should never get drunk. Then you have a person, when they get drunk, they cry, criers. So no. Then you have drunks that they become besimcha. They have different characters. So what happened was is that there were two oig malach haboshens, like some people, God blesses, begashmi is that, you know, the big people, the two big, the two giants of that area, they were friends and they got drunk together and they were both criers. So just to watch big people completely crying and everyone, and they were having a fight, but it was a very beautiful fight. So A and B. So A tells B, B, I mamish love you. I don't know if he used the word mamish. He was trying to tell B how much he loves him. And B is completely rejecting it. B says, no, you don't. and they're having a fight. So the whole bar is looking at, like, what's going to be from this? And there's a back, and there's a forth, and there's a back, and there's a forth, and they're sobbing. And until at one point, B tells A, I'll show you that you don't love me. I need for you to tell me, what is the deepest anguish in my life? What is it? A didn't know. She says, that's a proof that you don't love me. Because if you would love me, you would know what's going on in my heart. I want to tell you, this Torah, so the Alter Rebbe concluded that Avraham Avinu reached a madrega of loving Hashem so deeply that he knew what's in God's heart. He knew what that God likes this mitzvah this way, that God doesn't like that the other way, the lavim. If you tell the story to people that are not on that level, you're going to ruin everyone's marriage, because the basic misunderstanding that people have is that you have to know what I like. That's what we are told. No, you tell you have to communicate. Don't expect the other person can have all the right feelings for you. But if you didn't tell them that do this way and do that the other way, how would they guess? How would they know what's in your mind? This statement is emes. The Alter Rebbe's Torah is also emes. The Alter Rebbe's Torah is for people that are already very advanced. When you'll be 90 and you'll have more maturity, then this idea for lofty people is a truthful idea. That if a person is shaykh to reach a level, Avraham Avinu had such a close bond to the Eibishter that he knew, that's what he said. He felt God's heart. And God loves it when you do a mitzvah. God doesn't like it when we do what he doesn't want us to do. So he knew. That was his title. How did Avraham Avinu get there? I think this is what I want to share with you. And these are such beautiful ideas, all of the Torah of the Alter Rebbe. These are the foundational ideas of Hasidus. When people think about growth, spiritual growth, I want to better myself. The image that most will have in their minds is that bettering themselves is somehow connected with them elevating themselves, becoming a little bit less earthy, a little bit closer to Hashem, that's somewhere up there in the heavens. That's not a wrong understanding of getting closer to God. However, the first mitzvah that God gave to Avram and Sarah is the opposite of this. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha. What's the translation of lech lecha? Lech, even in modern Hebrew, lech does not mean come closer to me. Lech means shalom. Otozoi. Go with God. Go. Adeus. Go away. Otozoi. What's the lecha? So listen to this. What do you mean God is telling him to go? Avraham Avinu, for the first 75 years, is trying to figure out how to get closer to God. And he definitely got somewhere. He got close to God. Finally, he's talking to God. So the Shalom Aleichem is, you finally figured out how to get into that person's house. You enter and they're waiting and say, get out. But not get out, God forbid, in a negative way. So this is what the Alter Rebbe says. The fact that we all have to spend some time elevating ourselves, refining ourselves, getting closer to God, is something that don't erase, God forbid, but that's not this conversation. Whichever level you are at, no matter what a person understands, whatever experience you have that is of value, and we all have that, we have a duty, we have an obligation, which will connect us to God, to somehow not only share that experience with people that are more or less in our spiritual neighborhood, with whom it's easy to have a conversation. You're going to express yourself. Every generation has different words that we use, and aha, that person gets it. That means that that person and you have the same language. You understand each other. We have an obligation to take that idea and to translate it. Let's speak about us parents to children. This is very difficult. In words that your child can understand. If there was something that life taught you, you have an obligation to pass that information on to people that are not bechlal in your universe. And that's something very difficult. The lazy won't have enough in them to make the effort to do it. Even an idea. I'm just giving this as an example. For people that like ideas, for people that feel, that was geschmack, I understood something, you feel uplifted when you hear a nice idea. Most people would love to share it only if the person with whom you would like to share it, they are more or less in your world. So it doesn't take that much effort to share it. How many times did it happen that there is someone that enters your environment, right or wrong, you don't see them to be yet able to chap whatever it is that for you was very gewaldic, and you don't want to make the effort to go translate it for them. It's like when you tell a joke and you have to explain the joke, you don't want to say the joke. Like it ruined the whole thing. That person is not sharp enough. It's not even shayach. Maybe by a joke this is correct. By ideas it's not true. By ideas, I'm just giving this as an example. This goes much deeper than just sharing ideas. But if you have an idea, and even better, if you have an experience that was very meaningful for you, not sharing it with the other is not the right way to live. And the other means specifically with people that are, so to say, on a lower level than yourself. The ultimate will be parents and children. How much effort is needed to do that? There's so much resistance. You don't want to be the nudnik parent that always is teaching the children life lessons. I know that's horrible. You lose them. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of thinking when to say it. You know, there's the teachable moment. The Friedrich Rebbe wrote so much about it, that even when there is something that you need to impart to your child, he was a master educator, the timing is everything. Everything. Because if they're not open at that time to hear what you want to tell them, they will never, even when someone else will tell them those words, they already heard those words, they already rejected it someplace, they'll never hear it again. You're like, you ruined it for them. Who wants to spend all that time and effort? You have to be commanded. God told Avram, take your ideas. He understood some very novel ideas about Hashgacha Pratis that no one understood before. God told him, go and tell it to the world. I would say that when people are involved in outreach, it's so much easier because the person whom you are talking to, because of the fact that they are Jewish in our generation, they're already open to you. If you were to go ahead and do Mevtzayim in an earlier generation, I think it would never work. People were thought out people. We didn't put on tefillin. I don't believe in it. What kind of intrusion is that? Or any other mitzvah. People chose not to be religious in Israel. You have a lot of that now. Like they almost feel, and you have to understand where they're coming from, that you are intruding in their space. Live and let live. What are you? It takes so much effort, and anything that demands, let's say, a lot of effort, brings out from within you your best. Lech means to go out, to go down. The only way you can do it is by going deeper within yourself. Let me go back to my example of an idea. If you have a great idea, and you're speaking to someone that's more or less as knowledgeable, as intelligent, as experienced as you, you don't have to make that much effort to verbalize it. Whether you chose this word, whether you chose that word, the other person will mamash understand what you're trying to say. They can agree. They can. It's geschmack, right? Like in a relationship, you want that. It's easy to communicate with each other. I don't have to make that much effort. But when you are being mandated to share what you know, in the case of Avraham Avinu, you know about me, he figured out something about God, go teach it to the pagans. You know how much time and effort he needed to have with his wife, Sarah, to figure out how to do it, where to do it, how to open up the conversation, the courage that he needed, the effort that he needed to make in a way where the recipient won't be shut down right away. They'll be open to listening and to converse and to come back and to debate. That demanded for Avraham Avinu to go deep within himself. Deep within himself means that caused him to elevate himself even more. The paradox. The lower you go, the higher you reach.
Is that the lecha or the...
That's the second lecha. That's the Alter Rebbe's word. Lech is the mission. You need to know that anything that demands more effort has the upside. The downside is it's difficult. The upside is for you to be able to succeed in something that appears to be overwhelmingly difficult. When you go down, you by default go deep. When you will teach a great idea to anyone who listens to it in a short amount of time, that phrase will be very deep. It would have to be that way. It has to be so deep that someone without big chachma can hear it and get it, and the wise person can appreciate that as well. A book that could be read by an adult and a child is a very deep book. It took a lot of awesome power, intellectual power and emotional power from the author to be able to write something that on one hand is so simple that even an initiate will appreciate, and at the same time that an adult won't be bored by reading it. Lech lecha. The same is true with life challenges. That when the Hashgacha Pratis brings to a person circumstances that are overwhelming, we can be overwhelmed. But we know deep down that I cannot afford to be overwhelmed because I'm going to drown. I don't want to drown. I want to live. Overwhelming circumstances raise a person up. Right, the model was last week, Noach, that the ark was floating on top of the waters. The waters that drowned almost all of the living world, humanity and the animals, and basically all earthly life was destroyed by the ark. The only way to survive it is to rise above it. And we all know that. You know, the type of growth that we have to have when we face the impossible dilemma, and everyone has an impossible dilemma, that means if you see a solution, you're not aware of what's really happening, because what's really happening by Hashgacha Pratis for every person is a problem in which you're trapped. If there's a way out, that's not your problem yet. There was a very wealthy man in Brazil that would always say that any problem that could be resolved with money is not a problem. He was a billionaire. But he was saying that even to people that are not billionaires, and it was the very fact that if you were to have money, it would be solvable, that's not the problem of life. I'm borrowing that idea to, even if it's not a money issue, if there's a problem in which you see a solution, that's not a problem. And we're not looking for problems, but every person has the impossible problem, which is kind of awesome. And you're looking at me. And when we're younger, because of it being impossible, we become blinded to it, which is a great survival mechanism. The problem of becoming blinded to it is that every person at some point will ask themselves, why was I blind to that? You'll become aware of something later that you were not yet aware of. But after you become aware, you say, what was wrong with me? You'll be very disappointed in yourself. And the explanation of why were you blind, that was because at that time there were issues in your life that you chose blindness as your solution. The problem with blindness is that you don't get to pick and choose what you're blind to. Either you want to live with your eyes open or you want to live with your eyes closed. The advantage of eyes closed is like kids, you know, when they close their eyes and that's how they think they're not seen. Hide and seek, they just close their eyes. In your fantasy, everything is fantastic. In the real world, it doesn't work. And we have these issues. And the reason why Hashem does it that way, that's called Lech Lecha, is because without us facing something that demands for you to invest your kishkes in, you won't be in touch with that part of you that's meant to come out. You cannot be elevated unless you have to face something that demands of you to be elevated, to touch your core. There were three steps of how this happened in Jewish history. I'm saying this because every person has in their own lives those steps. The first step was Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha means that a person comes to the realization. I would think that that begins normally when we have children. I'm not only talking about the first years where the primary goal is biological. They need food, they need to drink, they need to have shelter. But even there, very early on, if we are able to, we begin to appreciate the kids' emotional needs, their brain needs, right? In every classroom, kids are bored. Kids are bored and misbehaving is because they're not being stimulated enough. And figure out how to make a better setting. Like, we're really behind in that. The solution in the Western world now is to drug them up for it to be easier for the teachers. And it's scary. Mamish. No one figured this out. I think more people are aware of the challenge that we're having. You walk into any classroom, I don't care what school you go into right now, the system that we have was not meant to work for all the kids in the classroom. We know it will not work for them. We know that most of them will fall within the cracks. We know that. What are we doing about it? We're blind to it. I mean, this is one of these bigger challenges. And there's a financial part to it. We can barely afford to do what we're doing. And on the other hand, parents are saying, rightfully so, it's too expensive. And then the teachers have to make a living. So the school is crying that they have to raise money, which they do. All the schools are raising money. All the schools are in a deficit. Can you imagine? And people, like, this is one of those bigger dilemmas, and not enough people are dealing with it, because I don't think people appreciate how much our children are not getting what they need. Just one of the many challenges that we have to, like in the Mashiach world, is going to be for sure a whole different system of education. I have no doubt about it. Something that will be better for them, a lot better for our kids. But coming back over here, when you face a dilemma and you have to bring its solution, you have to take an idea like we have the Torah. I want to teach the Torah to my kids. I want to teach my children the beauty of Yiddishkeit. It demands a lot more than what we think it demands. I think we are settling ultimately for, you know, we're human, we're lazy, we're spent. I'm spending so much money here and there and the other, so much energy. I have no more koyach. There's a truth to that. But when we think, you know, when the Friedrich Rebbe said that parents should speak 30 minutes every day about the chinuch of their kids, everyone hears it and they say, yeah, that's me. Then they have kids. And then theoretically, they speak about the chinuch of their kids. But then in life, you come home after day or whatever your day look like. And at some point, you have no more koyach. How are the kids? More or less okay. Everyone seems happy and good. If everyone halavai that, halavai, halavai that. That's the first Lech Lecha. The first Lech Lecha is figuring out how to bring something ideal down into the real world, in which that ideal is not being lived out. That goes to every other part of your life. And many people's barrier will be, I don't want to lower myself. The other is not worthy of all of that effort. Lech Lecha. And even if you want to frame it selfishly, yeah, the other person might not be worthy of all of your effort, but you are worthy. And the exercise of taking an ideal and making it happen in the real world, that exercise demands so much of you that it will elevate you. You will have to get in touch with the heart of your hearts to be able to succeed. If you're going to do the lech, it's like a reward. You're going to get the lecha. And everyone wants the lecha. You tell a person, I figured out how to get you in touch with your essence. Better than mushrooms. For free. Mamish. A lot harder. A lot harder. And that's always by going down. Going down. Going straight won't get you that. That's number one. The step number two is the mitzvah that God gave Avraham Avinu, the mitzvah of a bris. The mitzvah of the bris is much harder. The mitzvah of the bris means for us cutting out from our lives certain habits that are not good for us. And I think that's so difficult. That's so difficult. And we see this today. People at least are acknowledging everyone became an addict. Could be everyone is an addict. And it's how do you get rid of certain behaviors when it's so deeply ingrained in me? And I can mamash see that if I would only be able to get rid of that, it would be better for me. But I can't do that. And you do it. Then you have withdrawal symptoms. Then you go meshuga. And you go back to the very thing that you know and the bigger one is hurting you because you need what you consider to be poisonous air. That's the bris. The third thing is galus. People don't like hearing it. Galus means life's challenges. Just look at, we have to face the emes that in the world that we know of, it doesn't matter how righteous you are. It doesn't matter how, God forbid, how unrighteous someone might be. Makes no difference. Life will be filled with challenges and some of them will be impossible to overcome. The sooner a person really, really accepts that to be part of what we're here for, I think the much better of a life they will have. There's a lot of expectations that are not correct. There's a lot of mistakes that people make because they delude themselves in thinking that if only something would be different, they would not have their unique challenge, and that challenge will come to them no matter what. It's not that you'll exchange. People say, what happened was I exchanged one set of challenges for other set of challenges. No, what I understand is that you're going to get bidiyuk that challenge. That is the regret that people have. Because there is something in that, in your impossible challenge, custom made for you, that's going to anguish you to the core of your neshama. By design of God, that will demand of you to dig so deep. Lahavdil by exercise, right? Whoever is into exercise. So if you do a little workout, you don't need that much determination. When you go run the New York City Marathon, there is some point, at some point, no matter how well you're trained, where your body says, I can't do it. And I'm not saying that this is the healthiest thing to do. Just an example. Whoever, a runner will share that. And then they make a choice. You don't even get to make that choice if you're not in mile 16. You don't even get there, whatever the mile is. Everyone has that. And there's something that happens that puts you in touch with a part of you that you never knew existed. That not only overcomes obstacles, it gives koyach in your body. Now we're coming off Simchas Torah. I want to tell you that as young Bachrim are probably physically in their fittest part in life, especially for people that sadly don't exercise. So a yeshiva Bachrim will be, when he's 20, stark. The koyach that was needed to go through Simchas Torah with the Rebbe is not human koyach. And I know that. That means that there's only X amount of energy that you have. And we would after the first night dancing, and after the abuse of alcohol, which is damaging to the body, and in Mistama you become dehydrated, and on top of that you don't sleep good, then you go walk for 6 or 7 hours, talucha, and you dance. I remember coming back from talucha already 12 o'clock at night, that you know, even healthy people, you have no koyach. I don't know what came over us. Some energy that was not ours was put into us, And I want to say that after that, you were tired for 3 weeks. You pay a price. But the koyach that people had then, just to survive in a room that legally is so not kosher, to have 10,000 people in a room that only fits two. Like, you don't fit, you jump, you don't fall down. And the dancing. And then the Rebbe, and that was something magical. A person who had that will live the whole life on that memory, because that is like a proof to me that I have superhuman koyches.
Also for a woman, to compare to all those males.
Go that. No, Mata, can you imagine now how difficult 3 day yontiv is, to, like this, with kids. And with some ungratefulness around, and with all the lives, God knows how to like do it for you, and then you get a knockout punch, and then 30 people walk into your home and they're hungry. Yeah. I'm saying I witnessed that. The truth is that we all get it, but I think that the types of challenges that God gives for us demands of us to open our eyes. I really believe in that. I think that we have an option up until a point to dissociate. I mean, we dissociate. We check out. We check out. That's a horrible, very easy coping mechanism. You can't dissociate if 20 hungry people walk into your home. Either you're going to feed them or you're going to kick them out. And I was kicked out already. I mean, I was you get kicked out. People can't take it. Walk into a home after Talucha, I walked into a random home, I needed to drink something. I needed to drink. I walked into a home and I was begging, they kicked me out of the home. And I don't blame them. Then I couldn't understand. I said, I need to drink. But there was such a flux of people into that person's home that the balabasta, get out of my house. Just get out of here. Because you can't. That was, you see that people break. And I would do the same thing. I'm probably worse. I definitely absorb that. That's a great option. Just get out. Even though the other person coming in over there, all they need is a drink of water because they're going to die. Push it for you. You need water. That's after walking. I walked that probably for 6, 7, 8 hours. You're finished. That was Golos Mitzrayim. That's what that represents. And after we went through all three, this is what made the Jew a Jewish person. This is why we merited to get the Torah. This is why we were given a neshama. And just going back to my opening story, Avraham Avinu went through all these steps personally, and he did it all the way with his wife. That he came to such beautiful, deep understandings. Like for people who appreciate seichel. Avram is called Avram. That means, Av means Chochmah. He was like the most enlightened person. People that love Seichel, you know who they spend their time with? With other people who like Seichel. You know how frustrating it is in any relationship if one party has like their appreciation of whatever it is, some intellectual conversation. And Hashem is telling Avram Avinu, you gotta bring me not to the Chacham, bring him to the commoner. You know how difficult that is? And whatever the bris represented, a side of the physical, that's me. After he'd had that discipline, then he needed to completely have the gevura. It boils down to strength of cutting out what should not be there. Then he went through the biggest life challenges. According to most, you can say is losing of his wife at that point in his life. It was the end. He became so close to God because of the attitude that he chose to have regarding his life, that he reached a level that he felt what God likes. And there's a message for all of us in all of these three steps. Whether it is as a parent, whether it is stam, as another Jew, that we have a duty, we have an obligation. The Rebbe, the whole idea of Mevtzayim is this. On any level, first of all, it's relatively easy, but pick a hard case. You know, there's a person that I'm always inviting to come for Shabbos, but they just not for them. So an easier way will be, there's so many other Jews that need it, let me go focus on them. There's nothing wrong with that. But challenge yourself. Go bring Yiddishkeit to the Chilonim in Israel. Go try that. You'll get beaten up. Keep on doing that. But do it b'seichel. Do it b'ahava. It's a big avoid of that. And I know also that many people that are really into that, in their personal lives, there's a lot that's to be desired. And many people feel so self-righteous in our world where we live on the motto of Mifzoyim, that we justify. No one is perfect. God will have to tolerate my stuff because I bring so much to the table. And Nachter Rebbe so much emphasized that no one should only begin doing outreach after they became tzaddikim, which is what other people believed in. You do the right thing. The fact that the person who's doing the right thing is a sinner and they're going to go to hell. Just because you're going to go to hell, why should the other Jew lose out on his Yiddishkeit? How selfish. First, I have to know. But people bought into this line so much is that they never need to better themselves because I'm doing my job. The fact that on the way I need to eat too many calories, no one is perfect. It takes a lot for a person who's making all that effort to also then have to look at themselves and cut out, make a bris. Almost impossible. Impossible. And then to deal with the golus means with the circumstances that God custom made for you. God custom makes amazing circumstances as well. We can't take that out of the picture because it sounds like the life is horrible. Life is not horrible. We have miracles and we have the opposite of it. And we have it all together. And don't think if you're going to be that positive person, trach gut, and let me just look at the miracles, that's called dissociation. It's not healthy to go that way. You think it's healthy. It's better than being miserable. True. The goal is not to be miserable. The goal is to somehow figure out how to live with your impossible problem in a better way. Not always to solve. Certain things were not meant to be solved. They were meant for you to get in touch with your neshama. Do exercise beyond what you could do. What are you accomplishing? You're not going to end up picking up the log. It weighs a ton, but you're gonna try with the right way. Keep on trying. Keeping on trying is like the biggest test of life. Keep on trying, even though it doesn't look like I'm getting anywhere. No one told you, yeah, you can stop trying. If it's worded the wrong way, it sounds horrible. If it's presented the right way, this is your greatest achievement in life. This is the greatest achievement in life, right? I mean, we're just coming back, tragic, young, but when a person passes away, right? So you were mentioning that your sister was very positive. Very positive means that she never stopped trying. She never stopped trying. Some people are sick and they give up. You can't blame them. Some people just never give up. Those stubborn people, they just don't give up. And it empowers all the people around them. Even though they knew in their heart of hearts, like we have in the city, Yitzi Horowitz, just at Tzaddik. So I know that many other people, sadly, in our community has the same illness. Some of them have the right to say, I'm giving up. Like, what's the point? You can make that argument. When you have a person that didn't make that argument, there's no solution. We don't have a solution yet. He didn't give up. It's like, it's godly. You see Kedusha here. And it gives for others. I don't know how he does it. It gives so much, I don't know, inspiration for people in the city. That's not just him, it's him and his whole family. How do you deal with a problem that you know is not going away? The problem is not going away. He's not doing it because he's going to get better. He's doing it because he is not giving up. That is what brings a person in touch with God. That's how he got to Torah. That's how Avraham Avinu reached such a closeness to God that he knew what God likes. He knew what God dislikes. God didn't have to tell him a word. He felt it. He was there with God. And v'chein tiyalonu, everyone on our on our journey. This is the week of the journey. We should just look at life as that. Now, there are many other parts of life, and there's a lot of beauty in life that we have to spend time focusing on and being more grateful for. This doesn't take away one from the other. But this is the Alter Rebbe's opening maimer on Lech Lecha. Get out. Get out and go work. And it's going to demand of you so much. God makes it so. If you want to do the work, that the only way you're going to overcome it is by you going so high within yourself that you never dreamt you can go that high.